God, just thank you for this opportunity. I just pray that I decrease so that you can increase. I pray that I don't say anything of myself, but just let you speak through me. I just pray, Lord, that the hearts of everyone here can just be open to receive whatever it is you have, Lord. Thank you. Amen. All right. Just turn it down a little bit. It's a little loud. So how many of you wake up in the morning and think to yourselves, you know, I think I'm going to do more than Jesus did today. Just, I'm going to accomplish more than Jesus. How many of you? Nobody? Right, that would be, we can't do more than Jesus, right? Well, actually we can, and he says that we can. So in John 14:12, he says, most assuredly, he's sure of it, I say to you, you who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And, he says he goes to his Father there. He's implying that, and he goes on to say later in the chapter that we will have the Spirit, and through the Spirit is how we can do greater things than Jesus did, because the Spirit empowers us and dwells inside of us. And he also goes on to say later in the chapter that he will not leave us orphans, which I think it's important to stand that we understand we are all sons and daughters of God, and that we are all royal children. He is our Father, and we all live in his kingdom. And we're all citizens. We're all dual citizens of whatever country on earth that we're in, which doesn't really matter. But first and foremost, we are citizens of God's kingdom, and therefore we live by the parameters of his kingdom, not by the world. And it's very important to have a kingdom mindset and live with that thought in mind constantly, just every day, not bound by the world, but bound by the kingdom, bound by Christ. And we are empowered to live divinely and live differently, because I think we most all believe in the Trinity here, God the Father, God the Son, and then we keep the Holy Ghost in the closet so we can't scare anyone, right? No, the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. He empowers us, and if God himself lives inside of us, then why don't we live like it a lot of the time? I think a big reason is a lack of faith, and a lack of relationship, and love of God. If we really believed in God and trusted him and believed in what he did, then we wouldn't fail so much. We wouldn't have to try so hard. But our problem is we get so caught up thinking that through living holy or righteous or going to church or whatever, we can like earn that empowerment to live filled with the Spirit. Well, that's not how it is. It's just given freely. And we forget that. And by doing so, we actually discount grace and discount what Christ did. And it's kind of a sad thought. we just think that like once we're good enough, once we, you know, be good for a while, that then maybe we'll get a prophecy, maybe something cool will happen, maybe we'll see God do something cool, but that's not how it is. And we're not bound to any laws or rules, we're bound to Christ. And in John 1:17, it says, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And I don't know about you, but grace and truth sound a lot better than a list of rules. And in Romans 8:6, it says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So it's very important to keep that spirit mindset, that kingdom mindset, if we want life and peace in our lives, which if we are living filled with the Spirit, we should be peaceful, which I'll talk about more later. All righty. Let's turn to Galatians 2:16. Did we get? Okay. Nice. All right. Galatians 2:16 says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law no flesh shall be justified. The law doesn't save us, and it doesn't empower us. The law doesn't do anything. God does everything, basically. It goes on to say in the chapter 2, verse 19, for I, through the law, died to the law, that I might live to God. Or, as the NLT version says, which I like, for when I tried to keep the law, it condemns me. So I died to the law. I stopped trying to meet all its requirements so that I might live for God. Paul thought it was important enough to say that he died to the law. That's how unimportant it is that he lives fully for God, for the kingdom, to glorify the kingdom. Reading on, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. I don't think Christ died in vain. I don't know about you, but righteousness definitely does not come through the law. Now, Paul goes on to say in chapter 3, verse 2, he gets a little heated here. He says, this only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Now remember, he's talking to the church in Galatia, not our church, so don't take it too hard. But it also applies directly to us. So, like he says, did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? And as you can see from the verses I've read, the law is not the emphasis, it's not the ends, it's not the means, whatever. What is the point of the law then? Well, the point of the law is not to follow the law, believe it or not. God, we aren't supposed to follow the law, and the point of the law is not, it's to point us to Christ, not to anything else. The law shows us what sin is, and it shows us what acts of righteousness, what acts of loving God can look like, but we're not meant to follow these rules. We're meant to follow Christ and love him and seek him first and foremost. And chapter 3, verse 24 of Galatians says, therefore the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. So like I said, the law brings us to Christ, and through faith in Christ, we are justified. It's kind of cool. If I'm just staying up here holding a Bible, you just kind of have to listen to everything I say just because I'm holding a Bible. It gives you authority. Just talk about whatever I want. anyways, just a side note. Galatians 5, 4 through 6 says, you have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. Like I said, we discount grace and discount Christ. For we, through the Spirit, eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but faith working through love. I think that's important, that faith works through love. That's very needed. And Paul emphasizes that later. 5:14, it says, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And that's our call as Christians, to love each other as ourselves and to love God. And, you know, that's all it boils down to. And if we are doing that rightly, if we are loving God and loving each other, we should never even have to look at any rules or the law. It'll just flow out of us naturally. I think that's the goal. And 6:2 says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. I think that lines up well with what Dave was talking about earlier. We're supposed to bear with each other, love one another, walk through life together. Again, just to emphasize the need to walk just in the Spirit and with a kingdom mind. Chapter 5, verse 16 through 18 says, I say to you, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these things are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things you wish, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So if we believe that we're filled with the Spirit and led by the Spirit, then we're not under the law. We're free from it. I think Paul paints a very clear picture here all throughout Galatians, as you can see. And now we're to the fruit of the Spirit. We're going to look a little bit at what it looks like to be filled with the Spirit and to live accordingly. And first he lists all these sins, things that we shouldn't do. He says, these are the works of the flesh. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. How many of you ever get jealous or have dissensions among each other? Or how so often is that us? You know? Then he goes on to say, the fruit of the Spirit are, many of you probably have them memorized, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, against which there is no law. One thing I like about the fruit of the Spirit, they're all about more of who you are rather than what you do, like the law. It's all about tasks. Spirit is all about who you are. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. And so I like to think of the Christian, think of myself, or as like of Christians, kind of like a tree. So that might seem cliche, but we all bear these fruits. You know, trees have fruits. We have, you know, love, joy, peace, kindness, whatever else a Christian life might be, maybe, you know, gifts of the Spirit, tongues, worship, teaching, leadership, whatever it may be. And God gives us these things and gives us these blessings. And, you know, those are all really good things. But the problem a lot of us have is we start to rely on those things instead of on God. And the thing about a tree is it doesn't rest or doesn't stand by its fruit. It stands by its roots. I think the root of any Christian should be deep faith in Jesus. And just in God, and just a trust and belief that cannot be shaken, because eventually those fruits, whatever they are, will go away. They won't stay consistent, but God is always consistent, and we need that foundation of faith for anything else to be really beneficial. And God does like to bless us, though, and give us those experiences. He's all about it, but the problem is when we start to trust those blessings and trust in those instead of letting them push us closer to God and thank God for them, that's when they become a problem. So I have an object lesson. Everybody likes those, right? Everybody knows what this is? A $1 bill. Yeah, I'm not very rich. What do these say on it? They say, in God we trust. But how often do we trust as people? Piece of paper that tells us to trust God more than we trust God himself. That's just one, I think, really good example of our culture. We make decisions, we do things based off this rather than God. And this says directly on it, to trust God. How sad is that? I'm not bound by money. Here you go. See, churches aren't all greedy. Sometimes we give back. If you guys come back next week, maybe it'll be you. Maybe you'll be the lucky winner. So yeah, that's for you. You can keep it. I don't necessarily struggle with a love of money, but it's hard to love something you don't really have a lot of. So, yeah. So. Yeah. Anyways, I think I need some water. Okay. Anyways, I think a lot of the time we don't live spirit-filled, live kingdom-minded, is because of lack of faith and total reliance on God. I think we lack faith a lot of the time because we lack relationship with God. And we lack that relationship because we lack spiritual discipline. And we lack that spiritual discipline because we love comfort in our culture. And we, sometimes more than God, I know in my life, that's definitely been true at times, that I've loved comfort more than I've loved God. And it's sad. Going back sort of to the fruit of the Spirit, if we are filled with the Holy Spirit, you know, if we really are trusting God, relying fully on Him, we should be peaceful, we should be joyful, we should be fulfilled, we should be satisfied. We should be, like, we shouldn't worry about anything. We should have no anxiety. Worrying and anxiety are like a direct form of distrusting God. And how many of us worry about things that don't matter all the time? Like, I know I do all the time. But it says we should be peaceful, we should be joyful, we should be loving, we should be caring. We should be the most peaceful, joyful, loving people out there. But so often we're not, and we get a bad name, and people look down at Christians, often think they're mean, judgmental. That's the opposite of what it should be. And it's very sad. It's very sad to see that. Galatians 6, 8 and 9 say, "For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season what we shall reap if we do not lose heart." It's very important for us to continue on, to persevere in doing good in the spiritual disciplines. Spiritual discipline is so important. This year at School of Ministry, a guy named Joe Kimmel really helped change my view of that. Almost like every day, he went on like a 30-minute rant about it. But it was important because spiritual discipline is hard. Reading your Bible every day is hard. Praying every day is hard. It gets, you know, tiring. We get burnt out, whatever. But the way he looked at it, and which I really like, is that it's like training, because when the enemy attacks us, we can try all we want, but if we haven't trained and prepared, then what good is it going to do? Our trying is nothing. We're no match for sin alone without God. And so we need that perseverance and training and trying, that background of discipline, and just every day just being in the Word. It's very important. So I am almost finished, but I'm going to read this quote from a Francis Tran book. It's called Forgotten God. It's about the Holy Spirit. It's a very good book. The quote says, "As for me, I'm tired of talking about what we are going to do. I'm sick of talking about helping people, of brainstorming and conferencing about ways we can be radical and make differences. I don't want to merely talk anymore. Life is too short. I don't want to speak about Jesus. I want to know Jesus. I want to be Jesus to people. I don't want just to write about the Holy Spirit. I want to experience His presence in my life in a profound way." I don't know about you, but that's what I want. I want to experience God in my life in a profound, supernatural, divine way, just in every day, just walking it out. I'm going to ask my dad to come back up and lead us in another song or two, and then we're just going to kind of, Dave and I and whoever else, we're just going to hang out and pray with anybody who wants prayer, or anybody can come up who wants to pray with us, or if anybody needs healing or anything like that. Just, we're going to leave it open for the Holy Spirit. Pray in faith that He will do something, that He will move. So I'm just going to close in prayer. Just thank You, God, for this time. Again, just this opportunity to seek You, to seek Your Word. I just pray that You help us to be filled with the Holy Spirit each and every day, that You help us to remember to be kingdom-minded, Lord, that we are people that are marked by grace and truth, not by the law, that we are people who fully trust and rely on You, that love one another, that love You. I just pray, God, that as we go out throughout this week, that we can just love unconditionally, love You faithfully, and just walk it out, God. I'm tired of talking. I'm tired of just sitting here doing nothing. I just pray for action this week, that we can just be radically moved by your Holy Spirit, Father. Thank you for your blessing. Thank you for what you did on the cross. Thank you that we don't have to earn any empowerment, but that you just give it to us. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Yeah.